How great thou art. Those aren't just words on paper. That's a proclamation. That's a statement of fact. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. The Word of God asks the question, is there anything? Think about that. Is there anything too hard or difficult for the Lord? No! We've got to... Let me time out here for just a second. You see, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, nor can he, for they're spiritually discerned. If you're ever going to have an understanding and an appreciation for who he is and the power he has, it's only discerned spiritually. Your finite mind, in spite of all of the education and learning and degrees, will have you in disbelief. But I want you to know, when you encounter the Jesus of Matthew 28 that says, all power in heaven and earth is mine. When you encounter him and he knocks your fanny off your horse like he did Paul, or when you're like Balaam and going down the road and your donkey talks to you. Hello. Listen, we have got to remember he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not a myth, he is a miracle worker. He's not a figment of our imagination. He is Alpha and Omega. I better look out. I'm going to go somewhere other than where I thought I was. Listen, life is tough. Any of you experienced that? It's ups and it's downs and it's bumps and it's bruises and it's tests and it's trials. Along with the good times, the mountaintops and the joy and the happiness. But it's during those times of test, those times of trials, it's the trying of our faith. It's the testing of our faith. It's an opportunity for us to grow. It's an opportunity for us to be refined. It's an opportunity for us to crucify the flesh and to become more dependent upon this Jesus that has all power. Unfortunately, too often times, people look at the flesh and what they think their abilities are, and we tend to minimize God in our lives because we measure His abilities and His power by our own. God help us. And today I was seeking the Lord as to what He had had me share tonight, and I was thinking about so many people are just bombarded and inundated with issues and pressures and trials. People that I know, and even in my own life at times. You see, I got a wife. Her name's Glenda. Well, I won't go there. By the way, she hadn't left me. She's at the twins' graduation from kindergarten. But we need to get focused on the fact that God's word is true. And He told us, He gave us a heads up, He gave us a warning that while you're in this world, you shall. Not you might, not it's possible. You shall have trials, tribulations, tests, persecution. Sometimes you see it coming, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you know what to do, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you cause it, sometimes you had nothing to do with it. But it's a fact, they come. What will you do during those times? And I thought about a man that named Daniel. In the book of Daniel, the 6th chapter, if you want to turn there. Keeping in mind that Daniel, along with 3 other Hebrew boys, they were kidnapped. And they're slaves in a foreign country. And the whole book of miracles throughout the book of Daniel is actually found in Daniel 1 and 8, where they purpose in their heart. They purpose. They set their jaw like flint. They made up their mind that they would not compromise. They would not defile their bodies. They were going to stay focused on this God that they served. They were going to stay committed to Him and depend upon Him for everything they needed. And in chapter 5, there was an ungodly king named Belshazzar who had stolen the cups and goblets and the dishes from the Ark of the Covenant. And in chapter 5, they're having a party and drinking wine and they cutting up. And he has a dream. Now, Daniel's in prison. That king's wanting to know the interpretation of that, what he had seen. He'd seen some handwriting on the wall. They summons Daniel out of prison. He comes up and he told him, he said, many, many tickle leprosy. It's what was written. Many, meaning God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tikal, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Now, he rewarded Daniel with a chain of gold about his neck and a proclamation concerning him that he placed him as the number 3 ruler in the time. But that night, Belshazzar was slain. He was killed. And Darius, at 32 years of age, who was a Mede, he assumes leadership of the kingdom. And we pick it up in chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage or no loss. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. See, there's a little jealousy slipping in there. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no accusation nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any accusation against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto King Darius, live forever. Now the lies start. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake unto the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and he said, this thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said unto the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. But these men assembled unto the king and said unto him, king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king has established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, and he passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And he came to the den. He cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to have delivered thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angels and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad, and he commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought these men which were accused, had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius said unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even until the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. And who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? This is the God that we serve. And I want to put us in remembrance tonight that your situation, your circumstances have not caught God by disguise. You see, he tells us in his word that with every temptation, with every trial, with every persecution, with every obstacle that would come on an assignment to destroy you, God makes a way of escape. Instead of focusing on the problem as much, we need to get focused on our God. We need to get still. We need to listen for his voice so that he can give us direction to bring us out of the lion's den that you find yourself in. I want to point out a few things that we can learn from Daniel to help us come out from where we are. How many of you want to come out from where you are? So the rest of you just stay where you at. That's okay. Daniel. First thing I'd like to call your attention to is in verse 3. Where it says they couldn't find anything against him because an excellent spirit was in him. I believe that to be the Spirit of God. Just like the Spirit of God that comes and resides in those of us who have received the work of Calvary and have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. But it goes beyond that. It goes down to What kind of an attitude do you have? What's your spirit and attitude and your outlook while you're in the circumstance? You see, it's been proven. We have some nurses and occasionally doctors in here. It's been proven that your attitude towards rehab after surgeries and injuries, your attitude towards that, your spirit towards that, your work ethic towards that, your effort towards that, has everything to do with the overall success in the end of where you were. The same thing spiritually. Last week we were talking about believing. And we're going to talk about that again tonight. Because without faith it's impossible to please God. But don't forget the scripture that says, as you have believed, so be it done unto you. You see, it's time in America, particularly in the church of America, that we take ownership of where I'm at in life and what role I played in being like I am and the decisions that I have made, the actions that I have or haven't made. And it's time that I take ownership of my faith or lack thereof to get out of where I'm at. It's good to have prayer partners. It's good to have intercessors, and praise God, I've got several and I need a whole bunch of them. It's good that you have people that you can go to for godly counsel. It's good that you have people that have discernment and can speak into your life things from God. But you need to have a right spirit. You see, a right spirit even transcends over into being a teachable spirit. See, the word says, let him that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit says. You know, there's a whole lot of know-it-alls in churches of all denominations. And it's hard for them to hear the things that the Holy Spirit would like to speak into their personal life, into their church's life, into the leadership's life. Because they already know it all, they think. What is your spirit like tonight? Do you have a critical spirit? A judgmental spirit? A religious spirit? A spirit of criticism, gossip, backbiting? What is the spirit that permeates from you? What motivates you? What drives you? I hope it's the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God that will lead, guide, and direct you into all truth and teach you all things. Because you see, I believe God's word that says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He'll quicken your mortal body. He'll energize you. He'll empower you. He'll enable you to go forth and to not become victim of the devil's wiles, but instead to be the victor. Check your spirit at the door. Secondly, we see in verse 4 where it says, He was faithful. That'll preach itself right there, won't it, Brother Marvin? He was faithful. Are you faithful to your convictions, to your beliefs, faithful to God? Faithful to His Word. Faithful to what you know He's spoken into your heart to do. Are you faithful to seek Him? Faithful to praise Him? Faithful to worship Him? Faithful to eat the manna of life? Daily bread? Are you faithful to this? If you're not, I say this all the time, and it's the truth. You will never grow in faith. You can pray for faith and should, but prayer alone is not going to increase your faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, period. No shortcuts. Now, you can hear it in a lot of different ways. CDs, tapes, television, live services, reading it for yourself. But you must ingest and digest the Word of God so that you can become a person of faith, and that will enable you to be faithful. Thirdly, and I'm going to hurry up. In verse 11, these old guys had set a trap for him, as y'all heard in the Word. And in verse 11, it says, they found him. See, Daniel knew that the decree had been signed. And he went up, his windows being opened towards Jerusalem, three times a day, just like he'd always done. And he prayed and made supplication to God. Be honest with yourself. What's your prayer life like? Is it just thanking God for the food at each meal, which is good to do? But prayer is just communion with God, communication with God. It's talking, it's listening. It's letting your needs and requests be made known unto God. It's asking God for direction. He said, if any man among you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all men liberally and upbraideth not, for he's no respecter of person. It means the uneducated and the educated can both hear God. The rich and the poor can both hear God. Regardless of your skin color, regardless of the doctrine of the church that you go to, regardless of all of that, we all have the ability to hear God. But we have to have a hearing ear. We have to be talking to Him. We have to be listening. We have to be seeking Him. And you'll find Him. Paul and Silas. Y'all know that story, how they had cast a spirit of divination out of this girl who was making a lot of money for her masters. And they're upset, and they bring them before the magistrates, and they put a good whooping on them and put many stripes on their back, cast them into the inner prison. And that story goes on to say that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God in the dungeon. While they're in the dungeon, while they're in prison, while they're in shackles, while they're in chains, while they're in torment, they were singing praises and glorifying God and praying. And what happened? What happened? The chains fell off. They lead the jailer to the Lord and his household. And they walk out of that place. Skeeter sang a song a minute ago by Russ Taft. Just praise the Lord when you're up against the struggle. Satan wants to make you think, this is it. I got you now. But if you'll begin to praise the Lord, you'll begin to praise your way out of where you're at, I promise you, you won't stay where you are. You'll come out. I challenge you tonight to become a person of prayer and supplication. And lastly, in verse 23, it says that he believed. There's not a easier scripture in the Bible to understand than the one that says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because without faith, it's impossible to be saved. For we're saved by grace through faith. And it starts there. And it's a journey from then on of believing and trusting and having faith in this Jesus. You see, it all starts with, he says, if any man would be in Christ, he must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How many of you really know what the word diligently means? I looked it up. I thought I knew it, but I didn't. And it says to exhaust all of your energies, all of your strength in pursuit of something. Now, have you really diligently been seeking him? Most of the time we don't. But I want to challenge you tonight, Open Range. This is a different message than I normally and typically preach, but this is what God laid in my heart tonight. To encourage the body of Christ tonight. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that you're in. It's an opportunity for God to show up and show out in your life. Only you look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't get so focused on the mountain you forget the mountain mover. I had a revelation years ago. Maybe this is just for me. God never intended for us to have to climb those mountains. He told us to speak to them. Speak to the mountain. We are not exercising the authority God has invested in His children and in His Word. We're not exercising that near to the amount that we should be. Our lives should be driven by being a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. It's time we put up or shut up. It's time that we trust the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him. Let Him direct our paths. Let Him take us through and over to the other side. So that we come out over there with a testimony of praise and a spring in our step and a song upon our lips to say, let me tell you what God did in my life. You can experience that. You can have that. It's for whosoever will. It's that simple. Would you bow your heads? Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Dennis, I don't know this Jesus that you're talking about. But I know I'm tired of living the way I live. I know I'm tired of being empty. I know that I'm tired of the weight of the guilt of sin. And tonight I'd like to ask Jesus to forgive me and to cleanse me and to be my Savior. If that's you, could I see your hand all across this place? Anyone? Anywhere? Yes, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? Very quickly. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anyone else? Very quickly. In the balcony. Anyone? Anywhere? Yes, thank you. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, Dennis, I'm a prodigal son or daughter. I've once walked close with God, but I'm living in a pig pen. I'm living a lifestyle that I know I shouldn't be living. But tonight I want to come back to my Heavenly Father and be restored and make a new commitment to Him. If that's you, could I see your hand? You see, this is between you and God, but I want to see your hand. Anyone? Anywhere? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Quickly, get it up. Yes, sir. Thank you. This is your time. This is you and God. I can't save you. I can't change you. I can't forgive your sins, but He can and He's ready if you'll but let Him. Anyone else that'll join these before I move on? Anyone else? Very quickly. Perhaps you're here tonight. You say, Dennis, I needed to hear this word tonight because I am in a lion's den. I love Jesus. I'm serving Him the best I know how. But I'm in that lion's den. Could I see your hand real quickly? Anyone, anywhere? Yes. 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 See, He's closer than the air you breathe. In fact, He was in that breath you just took. Anyone else? Dennis, I need help so I can come out of this lion's den. Anyone else? Thank you. All right, look up here at me, everybody, real quick. There's no magic wand that I or any other preacher can wave. God has established how things are to be. And He says this in His Word, that whoever comes, He won't reject. He said, come unto me, all you that are weary, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Many of you have raised your hand tonight, whether it was for salvation, rededication, or to be strengthened and brought out of a lion's den. Here's what God's Word says about being saved, in case you don't know. It says that if we believe that Jesus is God's Son, He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You see, when Adam and Eve messed it up in the garden, that didn't catch God by surprise. He didn't have to go, what I do now? No, he already had a plan in place. Jesus would come and die and shed his innocent blood to redeem sinful man back to holy God. He said that if we believe that, and we believe that he died, but he didn't stay dead. 3 days after being crucified, he walks out of a grave on Easter Sunday morning. And that he's alive today and that he's coming back. Physically coming back to planet Earth someday. To catch his bride, his church, away so that we can live with him in heaven forever. But you know what? We don't have to wait till the sweet by and by to enjoy the presence and the joy and the peace and the strength of God. It's about to happen to many of you right now. That's what the Word says about being saved. So now with that knowledge, would you bow your head and you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart so that you can receive cleansing and you can receive forgiveness. And in case you don't know how to pray, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. God knows your heart right now. So let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have totally messed up. I do believe that you're God's Son and you loved me enough to die in my place so that I could live. I believe you walked out of a grave, demonstrated your power over death, hell, and the grave on my behalf. So I ask you now, Lord, to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with your blood, to come into my life and to be my Savior and my Lord. Help me, Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to learn your voice, to learn your word, to learn how I should live that would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I just lift up these that were crying out tonight for help from a lion's den. You know the details of their circumstances and their situations. Regardless of if it's relational or financial, physical, some type of addiction, whatever it may be, Lord, your grace is sufficient. Your power is more than enough. And we ask you to do what only you can do. That's to come and do a miracle in their life. And I ask you, Lord, to do it in a way that no man can take any credit or glory for it, but that each of these individuals will know that the hand of God has touched them and made them whole. We ask you, Lord, to just be with us throughout the remainder of this week. And use us, Lord. Don't let us just be sponges. Use us to breathe hope and life to others. Glorify you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.